past or what kind of mess you're in right now. God wants you. God is seeking you. God has a plan for you. God wants to touch your life, and he wants you to touch other people's life on his behalf. And I think that's where we get lost in that. I don't think we feel worthy enough. I don't think we can get our heads around that. You know, I know what I've done. I know what I think at times. And I know God knows what I think. So how could he want to use me on his behalf? But I want to tell you tonight that he does. He does. You are worthy enough because God claims you worthy enough. And Jesus paid for your worth. The most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, it states it, it claims it, it validates it, and it seals it. God loves you enough to make your way. And Jesus loves you enough to pay for that judgment. There's a line in a Bob Dylan song. He says, "For he bought me with a price. He freed me from the pit, full of emptiness and wrath and the fire that burns in it. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb." Thank you, Jesus. There's your worth. Never forget that you were bought with a price. John 3:17 promises no condemnation through Jesus. That all things, there's that word all again, everything will be forgiven. That's the thing that you can't forgive yourself for as well. Do you get caught in that trap? Do you believe that everything that Jesus, that you've done, Jesus will forgive? But do you forget to forgive yourself and move on from that? Because that is a stronghold that the enemy will use. Yes, you are worthy of God's love. You are worthy of God's light. You are worthy of God's promises. You are worthy of God's blessings. You are worthy of God's will in your life because God claims you worthy. And you are the right person. You are the right person. Jesus taught it. Jesus lived it. Jesus made a way for it. And Jesus was the proof of it. Yes, God, he loves you. He cares for you. He wants you. He wants to work in your life. God sees you as a conqueror. My question tonight is, are you ready? Are you ready to see that? Are you allowing him to work in your life? Because God is ready for you. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. How God has a plan for you. How you are a part of that plan. How you are that plan. Because he seeks after you. He wants to change your heart. He wants to change your mind. He wants to open your eyes and reveal himself to you. He wants to give you worth and take away your worthlessness. And he wants to give you full access to his Holy Spirit. And this is shown in the story of the woman at the well, John 4:4-26 will be the verses that we'll be going over tonight. But this woman, she never thought that she could be used by God, and she never thought there would be a time in her life that this change would be brought into her life. I don't know if you've ever had that happen in your life. You've ever experienced that where you were at a point where you just didn't see how it could change. It's not a good place to be. It's very destructive, very chaotic, brings a lot of self-loathing, self-destruction, self-doubt, and you become very defensive even though you know there's no way to defend that. You may have gone through it, or you may have seen people go through it, and it is no place to live, no way to live. And this describes a lot about how this woman was living her life. So let's get started with the story. Becca is going to read the verses tonight so you can at least hear one beautiful voice tonight. I'll let you decide which voice is the beautiful one.
He had to go through Samaria on the way, Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?"
Okay, this first part I want to talk about is change. So Jesus, he's making his way from Jerusalem to Galilee, and the most direct way to get home would be go through Samaria. And most Jews in that day, if they were going along that path, they would have just avoided it altogether. There was great prejudice from the Jews to the Samaritans. About 800 BC, Israel was taken over by the Assyrians, and the people from Samaria were taken to Assyria, and Assyrian people, they inhabited the land of Samaria. And during this time, the foreigners and the Jews of that area intermarried. And the true Jewish people of the South, they thought that intermingled race betrayed the true Jewish nation. And there was extreme hatred for those people. And that hatred had been going on for centuries. But Jesus, he would not let this hatred and prejudice deter him from his path. He was going to go to that land. He was going to be God's love, God's light, and God's truth in that land. Now, this reminds me of the story of Jonah. He had a call on his life. God wanted him to go witness to the Ninevites, which happened to be around 800 BC, and the Ninevites was a country of the Assyrians. But Jewish nation back then, they hated the Ninevites. And Jonah got in agreement with that hatred. And he allowed that hatred to become bigger than God's plan for him, God's purpose for him in his life. So Jonah turned away from that path. He turned around and ran. And he ran in the total opposite direction that God wanted him to go. And this led him to go to a ship and be thrown into the ocean. Now, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit, what does water represent? It represents the Holy Spirit. So here's Jonah, a man of God, and a man that really wanted to do what God's will. I guess he just wanted to do the parts that suited him. But he ends up being thrown into an ocean of the Holy Spirit. It's what the water represents. But he ends up being eaten by the monster of his own self-destruction and his own prejudice. So what do you let get in the way of God's purposes in your life? And do you know it when it's happening? Do you feel it? Well, at this point, Jonah was allowing his prejudice to get in the way, and it consumed him. And he ends up being thrown and missing out the blessing of the Holy Spirit and being devoured by his own thought process. Now, if you're ready for this God change, you have to be willing to be changed. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And we may not understand God's will when he calls it. Jonah didn't, but it ended up changing that nation. And that nation turned to God. So we may not understand it. It may go against what we think our very fiber, but we need to go beyond that and realize God's will is bigger than our will. If you're ready, you have to be ready and go when you're called, where you're called. You have to be willing to be changed and then follow that change. Jesus doesn't call you to stay where you are. And Jesus doesn't call you to do the same old thing that you've been doing. God is a God of creation, of motion, of action, and he wants that from us. And it will take you out of your comfort zone. See this right here, what I'm doing right here, I'm not comfortable doing this right here. It is terrifying. My comfort zone is right there on that back row listening, not up here speaking. But I found out, I mean, you can ask Becca and Brooklyn, my daughter, I've had to fight off some panic attacks in this last week, you know. Had to do some breathing treatments. Might have had a minor heart attack, but I don't know. I think I'm okay. But be willing to be changed and then follow that change. For me personally, I realized several years back that my path was leading more in the way of Jonah than in the way of Jesus. You know, I saw that, and I just acknowledged that, and I asked forgiveness for that. And I just asked God, Lord, you know, just I want to do what you want me to do. I'm tired of doing it my way. It's not leading me anywhere. And, you know, you notice I didn't say, I tried to be perfect and then went to him. I just took a broken man and just was willing to have God work in my life. And I never thought, you know, I would be a deacon. And I never thought I would be at the pulpit speaking to you guys. So God will work through you if you make yourself available. You know, God is good. God is willing to change. You need to be willing to follow that change. So we're going to continue on verse 10.
Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come back here to get water."
Man, isn't that good? Wouldn't you like to just be there in a face-to-face conversation with Jesus? I just think that's an awesome picture to see them too, and just having this conversation. Now, this section I want to talk about is revelation and recognition. Notice Jesus' first and immediate response is about what God has to offer, and what God can provide. Jesus is always about his Father's business. Is it up there? What is that? What was the first thing? What was the first thing? Yeah, he said. Yeah, that if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give it to you. He is always about his Father's business. He is always concerned about our eternal life first. What Jesus offers is heaven. It's infinite, impossible. That is the first gift and first responsibility he has. But he is also willing to take care of our earthly needs. You remember in Luke 5:20, where the four men, they brought the paralyzed man to them. And, you know, they made such an effort to get him to Jesus. They cut a hole in the ceiling and they brought him down. And Jesus was so overwhelmed with this, with their faith. He said, "Sir, I forgive you your sins." Before, that was the first thing he said. And then he healed him. So remember, his gift to us is always eternal life first, always heaven, the kingdom of God first. But he is always willing to take care of our earthly needs. So Jesus speaks of these infinite possibilities and this hope, and it is different from anything she can imagine. He's offering her renewal and daily cleansing, a new start, that change that we were talking about, she never thought was coming. And of course, what he's offering is himself. Jesus represents all of our needs being met forever. Jesus will never ask you for anything that you cannot do, and he will always provide you what you need to get done what he asks. And I just picture this, what he's offering. It's like a visual picture to him. It's not just a conversation. He's offering it to her, and he's already seen it done because he's already made that way. He's already seen it done and seen her way and what the path she's going. It's not just like this, we're having this conversation and we'll see if it happens. He's already seen it happen. But the woman, she only sees what's right in front of her. She sees no way for him to provide what he's offering. She is limiting herself with what she has, the tools she has, the rope, the pail. The tools it takes to supply her own needs under her own power. How does this apply in your life? Do you have to see the way things are going to get done? Or do you have faith in the unseen? Do you rely on your own abilities or the truth that all things are possible through Christ Jesus? But you know, this conversation they're having, it's more like a prayer. You know, she comes to him, she's broken, and she allows God to speak to her, and to open up to her, and she's unloading her doubts and her concerns, and God breaking off what needs to be broken off, and she's acknowledging that, and she's feeling that, and asking for more and to go deeper. You know, that's not necessarily a pretty prayer. You know, there's a lot of banter going back and forth. You know, you can have ugly prayers. God can handle it. You know, some of my ugly prayers seem to go deeper than my pretty ones. That's because God knows my needs. He knows where I'm at, and he knows what I need. And really, you know, honestly, right, the most times we go there is when we need something, right? But, you know, don't forget to bring praise and worship along that. But, that's what he's there for. He wants that relationship. He doesn't want you to run and hide from him during those times. He wants to take care of you. And look, through this process, 15 verses into this story, 75 words into this meeting, this encounter, this conversation, this prayer, look at the change in the woman. You have to open yourself up. Be vulnerable. That means us too, guys. This isn't just for the women. Guys have to be vulnerable to the Lord too. Recognize him. Recognize his authority over you, over all of you, even and especially the ugly. That's where that revelation lives. Oh, he is. He is for me. He will provide for me. He is bigger than all my issues. Sometimes we forget that. He does care for me, and he will help me. Philippians 4:19 says, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. God is amazing and unfailing. Meet him where you are. Meet him where he is, because that's where he's going to meet you. Recognize his call on you and for you. So let's continue. Verse 16 through 18.
Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth.
This section I want to talk about is value, your value. And doesn't this seem like an odd transition? Jeremy, won't you leave those up? Thank you. You know, what is Jesus doing here? Is he just kind of like changing the subject? Because it kind of seems to be going in a left direction. But he wants to reveal to her her very weakness. You know, she's been seeking her value and her provision in earthly man. And this way has gotten so bad for her. She's gone through five husbands, and the man she's with now, she can't even get an earthly commitment from. And Jesus, he's opening up this truth to her and about her. And until we allow God to reveal our weakness and our sinful attitudes and allow him to chip those areas away, we will never see our value. And the enemy will always have a foothold through that area. And Jesus knows that if we keep that stuff in, that he won't be able to come out through us. He won't be able to work in us. And Jesus, he's offered her something, this living water, and she is asked to receive it. Jesus wants to bring out into the light what is keeping her in darkness and bring her to this point of redemption. Jesus is breaking down her doubts and her shame in this earthly point of view, and he is opening up and sharing his divinity. He is showing her her need for a Savior. Not man, not earthly provision, but a Savior. And the more she has sought her value in this way, through earthly possessions, through earthly men, the more it has isolated her in her community and in her life. And she's now starting to feel that influence of God in his Holy Spirit. And it's starting to show in this conversation. Jesus is just opening up the area. She is allowing sin in. And sin that is leading to the feelings of worthlessness. And it's just an open and honest conversation. No condemnation. Our value will always be limited and lacking when we seek it through earthly avenues. How do you react when you hear God and he's revealing these areas where you're lacking? Where you are failing and falling short? Where you have a need for him? How are you reacting to that? Do you accept that conviction? Or do you react in defiance, in resistance? Jesus, he just wants to take that stuff out, take that stuff away with no condemnation, just because he loves us, just because he wants to. I mean, how does that song go? Jesus, you didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down. The answer to these questions is because he loves us and just because he wants to. And when we receive this gift, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And this is where Jesus is leading her and where he wants to lead us. So let's continue. Verse 19.
Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation does come through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah.
Amen. Awesome. I love this. This next section is about access. Jesus' mission was to become the true temple of God, and he completed that mission. In doing that, he tore the veil of the old temple, and now we have total access to God through Jesus and through this gift of his Holy Spirit. Now he resides in us, and we are now his temple. Our worship, our relationship, our conversations, our prayers no longer have to go through a temple structure. It goes directly to God. It does not have to go through a priest. It is spirit to spirit. And that's what Jacob's dream, back in Genesis 28, Jacob had a dream on his way to, I can't remember now. Okay, that's fine. In his travels, he stopped one night and he had a dream, and he saw a ladder going from the earth into heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending from heaven. And in John 1:51, when Jesus first recruited his first five disciples, he claimed to them that he would be that stairway to heaven, and the angels would be ascending and descending on him. And here in John 4, he is being that ladder and that stairway, that access to heaven, the access to the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Because God is ready for you. God is good, and he shows it through Jesus. And it's amazing that just a few short verses later, this woman, she leaves and leaves all that she brought to that well, both physically and spiritually. She leaves them at the feet of Jesus, and she leaves with water anyway. She didn't keep it for herself. She shared that. She runs off telling people, look, here's a man that knows everything about me. She's no longer ashamed of that. She's almost bragging about that. She's witnessing to that. And the people before who would have ridiculed her, their lives are being changed as well through her testimony. And do you remember the first question that Jesus asked in this conversation? He asked, will you get me a drink? So from the start, he had had plans for her to share this water. He offered it to her. He cleansed her with it. He filled her with it. And he gave her strength and boldness to share it. All our needs are met through Jesus. Infinite possibilities. He is willing to change your mind and your heart. He is willing to open your eyes and reveal himself. He is willing to take your shame and give you value. He is willing to give you full access to God. Are you willing? Are you ready? Now, this story, it's Jesus and this woman one-on-one, but it represents how God communicates to us, how he seeks us out. You know, no matter where we're in, just like that song says, in our desert lands, in enemy territory, there's no place he won't seek you out. There's no place he won't bring you victory. There's no place he won't, that you can be where he won't make you a conqueror. So just, he is out there seeking after you to find you. Allow yourself to be found. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father God, just thank you for you revealing how important we are to you. Thank you, Lord, for having a plan for our lives, Lord, and allowing us to be a plan, a big part of your kingdom. You will take us, Lord, wherever we need. You will come get us from wherever we've lost ourselves. Thank you for seeking us, Lord, for giving us worth and value, for showing our purposes, Lord, through Jesus, to show how calm you come to us in our chaotic lives. You bring peace. You are waiting for us, patiently seeking us, always. We are always on your heart, always in your mind, Lord. Just thank you for all that you do. We bring you praise, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, I did forget to offer the tithes and offerings. We'll just leave that up at the back at the horseshoe, not at the horseshoe, the sound booth. And if you... Fall Festival is October 31st on Halloween night. And we do still need, I think, four or five volunteers. There's four or five places if you are available. Oh, there's one left? Woohoo! Awesome. All right. So there's one left if you want to volunteer for that. It's there. It's October 31st, Halloween night. We still need candy and 2-liter sodas. Yes. And, of course, we have men's Bible study Monday night at Chuck Langford's house. All the men, very welcome. We're going through a very, very good book on John, very in-depth. Love it. And the women do their Bible studies here in the green room.